after fall retreat, and I got to tell you, all's good. All's good with the world. And I want to help you understand, whether you were on fall retreat or not, that we have turned a corner. And I felt it here tonight already. I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I remember because I was on the stage. Week one, we had a full house. And I'm preaching and I'm saying little things that I think are funny, and you guys are kind of like, hey, hey, hey. Yep. There's like these little courtesy laughs that come my way, and we're a little bit uptight and a little bit awkward, and we're not really sure if this is my place or my home. And as time has gone on, we have become more and more comfortable with each other. We've gotten to know a few more names, Callie. We have gotten to experience each other in a way that we understand that we are a family. And we come back, and tonight, I just feel like we're resting, truly resting, as a group, under the Lordship of God. And we got blessings like babies today. And we've got blessings like new friendship today. And all is right in the world when we know our place. And true worship, a definition of that is knowing that God is God and you are not. And we are in that place here tonight. And as we're worshiping and we're just, oh, I could just listen forever. And we're singing our guts out. Tonight was the first night from the front row over here that I heard more behind me coming at verbally than I did from the stage out. We are a family. And there is wonderful things that come with that. But I'm about to tell you that things, as we've turned this corner, the beauty of a family is that we have to start acting like one. And we have opportunities in front of us that are so exciting. And we're going to talk further tonight about our intentional plan of how to invest and love and care for the people in our lives. That's part of being family. But before we get to that, I do want to help fulfill Phil's promise. That was good. Of explaining to you why we do this fun run and why we need to do it this year. We have these KFC buckets, and there's one right here. Can somebody grab that one? We can start these KFC buckets. There's one there, and there's one here. They can go. This one can go to that section. This one can go to that section. I think there's probably one here for that section. And if we could, if you pass these, if you're visiting with us, don't worry about giving. But if you are a member here, we would really like you to contribute towards the ministry in the Philippines. We have three ministries in the Philippines through Encounter. It's kind of a rare deal. I know it sounds like you're kind of like, what? I know it's hard for me to fully explain, but imagine this times three in the Philippines, and that's what that money is going to. And they basically eat fish heads and rice in the Philippines. And so I know that sounds kind of, my friend Arnold, he understands. He'll listen to the podcast. And Arnold, sorry, but that's what you guys eat. And they just don't need to live on as much. They just are so much more frugal. Things don't cost the same. It's like a different world. But each of the ministries there costs $10,000 a year. Not much. $10,000. That's for campus minister. That's for a room. That's for Bibles. That's for the whole thing. That's for retreats. $10,000. And it is unbelievable to me that so much fruit can come from so little. And fortunately, that's all we've got is a little. But we give it, and we give it to them, and we see God move through that. In this world, things don't quite cost the same. And it kind of frustrates me sometimes. I came back from the Philippines the first time I came back, and I thought, man, they're living in a cardboard box, but I don't live in a cardboard box, and the campus house is not a cardboard box, and it needs a roof. And a roof here in this world, on this side of the ocean, $15,000. I think we can cut that almost in half by working on it ourselves, doing our own work, our own labor, because I think there's a lot of you that would enjoy getting up on a roof and acting crazy for a day with an automatic gun that you can like shoot. That sounds like fun to a lot of you, I know. It will take some work, but I think we can do it. I think we can do that. And so I'm shooting for $7,000-$8,000 to raise through this fun run so that we don't have to pull away from ministries like the Philippines. It would be bogus for us to say, you know what, we need a roof on our building so you can't have a ministry for a year. I don't want that to happen, but we just don't have $10,000. And the $10,000 or $8,000, if I get that money in the future, I'm not going to save it in a pile for roofs. We're going to start another ministry in the Philippines. And we're just going to trust that God's going to meet needs as they come up, and this is the need that's come up right now. And so as we've turned this corner, I just want to tell you, it's exciting to be a family, and now we have some work to do. And it's not just relational stuff. Some of it might have to be in the area of raising some funds and getting on a roof and working for a couple days. So that's our goal. Can we just kind of gather around that? Can we rally around that? Can we get excited about that? You know what? If we bring in extra money, who knows what we might be able to add to more ministry in the Philippines or other places, other areas that we might be able to do that. But at least $7,000 to $10,000 is our goal for the fund run. Make sense? So we got three weeks, and each of you, just if you can just do your best. If you don't have the 100 and you come with 25, we'll take it. But would you all just do your best to say, you know what, I think I can come with 200. Maybe I can come with 100, but everyone has a goal of $100. And see what God would do through that. All right? Hey, tonight, we're jumping into week number 3 of our series on being intentional. Jesus was all about intentionality. Jesus, his whole method, his whole plan was one person to another person so that that other person would go to another person. It's just this trickle-down effect, and it doesn't just happen by showing up and sitting in attendance somewhere. It shows up, and this principle showed up, and this method works outside of these gatherings that we have usually. And so we're really hoping that this discipleship mentality that Jesus had and that he taught and that he was so passionate about would really take flame within each of our hearts. And so it's been fun because we've had a chance to interview people over the course of this series that have received intentional investment. And this week's no different, and I've asked Andrew Garcia to come up this week, and we're going to talk to Andrew for a little bit. Hi, Andrew.
Is this thing on?
Test it a little bit. All right. We might need to, I think we set it up a little bit late, so.
We good? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Love
it. Perfect.
Andrew and I are friends, right? You don't have shoes on. What's up with that?
I figured, guys, this guy's got wisdom up here. I got to come up just with him with no shoes on and see if I got to get the wisdom from the Lord up here.
Nice. I like it. Andrew's wise because Andrew and I both share common loves, and right now, even though we're going through the gutter with the Steelers,
tough here.
We're Steeler fans. We're gonna stay true. But Andrew, I want to be honest with you. I want to be gut level with you for a second, and I want to say that I've seen you for the last 3-4 years, and when you first started coming around, you were a guy that was sort of in the backdrop. You're a guy that I sort of pictured being more of a distant relative to the Lopez's.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And now, it's just like 2 nights ago, we're down at Fall Retreat, and you're leading worship at night, and you're saying little words of wisdom, and you're guiding people, and you're praying, and you're just a different person, and it's cool. It's cool. And I've seen you invest in my own kids over the course of last year at my house every Sunday night with these junior high kids, and you spent time, you were intentional. I'm not trying to embarrass you in front of everybody.
He's really getting me here, guys. I'm sorry
but,
to go ahead.
Yeah, but that's it's been awesome, and I've seen that. And I know that that didn't happen by accident. And we talked before that there was some intentional conversations that have happened in your life over the course of maybe your last 4 years. And I was hoping that maybe you could share one of those. What were one of those conversations?
Well, Greg Keller, for those of you guys who don't know, he's one of the first people I met here at Encounter. And he just was super intentional with me off the bat. But when you have people who are intentional with you, they're also going to ask you tough questions when you need it. There's just been times where I've been like going through difficulties in my life, but I didn't know it at the time. And whether that be through relationships, through, I don't know, just struggles with classwork or anything else, but Greg would ask me, what specifically, he said, what good are you doing for the kingdom right now? Whether that, whatever my struggle may be at the time, what good are you doing for the kingdom? And I'm pretty sure at the time I was just like, please, what do you mean what good am I doing for the kingdom? I got this. But yeah, it was just, once I started thinking about it, it really was like food for the thought. Like I really had to battle with it, consistently. It was just a good question just to ask, and didn't have to like, put me down and like say, ask me really, really difficult things, but it was just a question that got me thinking.
All right. has anyone else spoke to you?
Yeah, Phil, my distant relative. for those of you guys who don't know, he's the guy that's up here like, hey, hello, Encounter. I'm Phil. I'm sorry, that wasn't a bash on you. I don't know where you're at. I'm sorry. For sure has been helpful for me too these past 4 years. Definitely poured into my life and helped me grow to where I'm at now. But once again, just times of difficulties, particularly in relationships, he would tell me, once I had a conversation with him, he said, I've been in your shoes. I've been where you're at. And I'm not necessarily sure that the path ends where you want it to. And that's like, that's tough to hear from your cousin. But it's also because he loves me, because he was being intentional with me, and telling me things that I not necessarily wanted to hear, but needed to hear at the time. So it's not always happy-go-lucky, as you may think, which is definitely good for me, though.
How about any other topics? The relational topic, but was there any other topics that you've been challenged
on? Liz Monroe, for those of you guys who don't know, she just went on the World Race. She's also just been someone who's invested in me consistently. And, well, Greg and Liz, I both met at Fall Retreat, actually, with the black team. That was the first team I was on my freshman year. So these are also people that I like currently talk to and super invested with and are just really, really intentional with me. But there's been times where we've spoke about prayer and how powerful that can be. But she called me out, basically. She said, have you noticed that you're praying a lot about yourself? And I had thought about it, and really everything was about me. It was about me, me, me. What, God, can you help me with this? Even if it was like a test, I need an A on this test next week, I need it. But a lot of it was just about me, and it really put things into perspective. And she told me to start praying for people around me, for God to work with people around me, not through myself so much. And that's just something that I've really held on to till today, and something that I'm for sure blessed with.
Did you see the benefit of these people's words, like, right away?
Were no.
You like, no.
Definitely not. at the time when they were talking to me, and as a freshman, sometimes, and as a sophomore as well, a lot of it was through one ear and out the other. I was like, I got this, guys. You don't need to, I don't know, I just felt like I was in full control. I felt like I knew what I was doing. But like, coming into today and thinking about it, those things weren't initial thoughts that went through my head that I didn't know what I was doing. But the for sure, after leaving my past relationship and even recently now, like, I just know that these things are good for me, and I've used them for myself to communicate with others. And although I didn't know at the time that it was beneficial for me, I know now that it is. So it's, to me, it's amazing how impactful words can be from 3 years ago that at the time I didn't think were impactful are impactful now.
And so you just said that these words that came into your life were able to be passed on to others.
Yeah.
How so? Give me an example of that.
Cody Monkman and I, we had a Bible study together, and it was just really, really nice to be intentional with each other. It wasn't him discipling me or me discipling him, but it was really just real conversations, challenging each other in really good ways. And I can honestly say from conversations that I've had in the past, it has allowed me to really dig into Cody's life and for him to dig into mine. And it's really just amazing what you can do just as super intentional friends, challenging each other. Because like I said, it's not always going to be happy-go-lucky. You're going to have a tough conversation occasionally, but it's out of love. It's not out of hardship or any harsh feelings or anything like that. It's out of love. So I definitely realize that now.
Greg, Phil, Liz, Cody. Names. And intentional relationship in all of those. And I think it's what I like a lot about our conversation this week and what we're going to be talking about this week is encouragement / challenge. Like, to be intentionally verbal with people is a big deal. Now, next week, we're going to get into maybe a little bit harder stuff, a little bit more of a deeper question, a hard question that we might need to be asking with people. But this week, it's not like there's one issue.
No.
It's just like, it was like a shotgun.
Yep.
Of you just kind of getting shot by a shotgun every week by different people.
That's exactly right. Just.
And glorious things happen from it. So thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. A lot of you probably know the story, know of this. It's our history. The worst loss that the Navy ever experienced in one day was on July 26, 1945. The USS Indianapolis. During World War II, was shot by these torpedoes a little past midnight. There were 1,197 men on this ship, 1,200 guys. 300 of them went down with the ship, 900 of them got off. 900 of them in the waters thinking that help was going to come very soon. For the next 5 days, they were tortured by dehydration and the worst shark attacks in history, Michelle. I am dead serious. Michelle's deathly afraid of sharks, and I really didn't plan on doing this until about 2 hours ago, sorry. But this is where we're going tonight, Michelle. Yes, that's right. This is going to be harder than I thought. I didn't really think about this a little bit ago. This is going to be very, very hard for some people. But there's a lot to learn from this story. There's a lot to learn from this story. Only 317 people survived those 5 days. 317. And it was really interesting to listen to the testimonies of the people afterwards as to why they survived, the people that did survive. Because what ended up happening, really, was they ended up telling stories of good leadership, of people that were really good leaders verbally, and they spoke truth constantly to these men that were with them in these waters. The real problem, most of the time, really was that people, one of two things that they died from, and one was that they thought that they could get to safety. They thought they could swim to an island. They thought that they could take off, and on their own, things were going to be better. And as they swam off, they were picked off by sharks. The other way that people died was that they were just so thirsty, and they're surrounded by billions of gallons of water that they can't drink. And they know that if they drink this salt water, that they will die. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows that you have a better chance of staying together in a group of surviving against the sharks, and yet people went off on their own. Everybody knows that you can't drink salt water or it's going to kill you, and yet they just gave in and they drank the salt water. And what would end up happening is these people would drink the salt water and they'd get these immediate adrenaline rushes where they would really become super, super strong for a brief time before they died. And nobody could fight them off. And they would do things that were just stupid, but then sometimes they would dive down deep. One of the reports was that they would dive down like 20 yards. They'd come up, and in complete disillusionment, they would just talk about the ice cream cones that were being served 20 feet or 20 yards below. And guys would go down. They would convince them. People are dying all over the place because there's lies being spread through delusional people. Horrible, horrible situation. Awful deaths. But there's a few guys that came back and said, because they were spread out. Like, a lot of these guys didn't see each other. It wasn't like it was like one big group together. They were, I mean, miles apart from each other. A clump here, a clump there. And the groups that really did the best ended up telling stories about how their leader, their captain, would share stories about, hey, guys, that helicopter's coming. It's just around the corner. Hold on tight because you guys know I want you to think about your wives right now. It's going to be a beautiful reunion. Some of you got kids. Put a picture of them in your head. Hold on, hold on. We're on a mission. We've got a vision. We just got to hold on a few more hours. And the guys that could speak truth, to remind people of truth. There isn't anybody in all those waters that didn't know they had a wife, didn't know they had kids, didn't know that there was something to look forward to. They all knew that, but some needed to hear it. As you just heard, Andrew didn't, there's nothing new. It's like, hey, you might want to watch how late you're staying up with certain people. You might want to watch what kind of words you're sharing. I know, I've got this, Andrew's saying. I know that. We all know, don't we? We all know what's best. We all know the problems that are out there. Don't belittle me by telling me what's possibly going to hurt me. I'm aware of these things. It's not about awareness, is it? It's about being encouraged and challenged and moving in that direction. Talked a little bit earlier about what a beautiful setting this is here tonight. When we are under the lordship of God, things are all perfectly in place. When God's big and I'm not, we're in the right spot. And our direction ends up taking a course that is in a way that is pleasing to him. The things that we say, the things that we do, the way we interact is pleasing to him. When God's God and other things aren't, the glory goes to him, it doesn't go to us. And everything works well, like a nice row of dominoes. The right things fall first and everything else falls in place. There's a few scriptures I really want to share tonight because this topic is close to God's heart and it's all over the Bible. The first we have is from Proverbs, and it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I would encourage you guys to memorize that. I'd encourage you guys to memorize that. This is so crucial. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need to be sharpening each other. It isn't about coming up with new insights of the word that nobody else has ever heard. I bet he's never heard this one. I'll speak at this point. No, reminding people of the right things and sharpening each other is how that works. Another scripture that I really love is from Proverbs. Actually, I think it's from Psalms. I may have written Proverbs there. Walk with the wise, so maybe it is Proverbs, and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise, and you'll become wise. I've talked about this last year. I don't know how many of you guys remember this or not, but this is a promise. The first part of this verse is a promise. If you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. Now, what's wisdom? Wisdom is understanding that tomorrow is important. that I'm working for something today to make a benefit for something tomorrow. You guys are in college today because you want a nice job tomorrow, right? You guys, some of you guys understand that if you want to have a good test, you got to study today so that next week you pass the test. This is wisdom. Wisdom is about investing in today for tomorrow's benefit. Wisdom is about seeing that these things are connected. And so the promise is, if you want wisdom, hang out with wise people. You want to do your homework and get your homework done, hang out with people that do their homework. If you really want to have some money saved away, understand how money works, hang out with people that know how to handle money. But the second part, it's not a promise. The second part is a warning. The companion of fools suffers harm. It doesn't say that you'll become a fool. If I hang out with a fool, all of a sudden I'm stupid. No. Matter of fact, fools are not people that have no information about tomorrow. I didn't know there was a test. No, you knew there was a test. You can't use that excuse forever. The people that are fools are people that know the exact same information as a wise person, but they don't do a dang thing about it. Today, I'm going to live for me. I'm going to watch the movie. I'm going to drink my beer. I'm going to go to bed. That's me. I don't care. I don't care about tomorrow. But the person who thinks about tomorrow and plans it, that is a wise person. So here's where the warning comes into play, is if, and this is where your mom and dad were always so scared for you, watch out who you're hanging out with. I trust you, but I don't trust the people that are driving your car to prom, right? Because if you're with a fool, eventually you're going to suffer harm. Because if they don't care about tomorrow's finances for them, they're not going to care about your finances either. And they're not going to care about your health, and they're not going to care about your reputation. So we got to hang out with people that are about tomorrow, that are about wisdom, that are about seeking a future that is beneficial both to you and to the Lord. This is important. This is just backdrop to where we want to go tonight, but it is so important because last week we talked about how love is crucial. It is the foundation of everything that is shared, and we talked about that woman who awkwardly came in to see Jesus, and she's like wiping his feet and all this kind of stuff, and there was something about what Jesus permeated that was infectious to her. She knew she was forgiven. She knew that there was no judgment in him. She could feel that. And we need to have that permeating off of us because we need to have forgiveness in our core of who we are as well. That was week one because that's just foundational. Love permeates. What do people feel from you? But tonight, we're moving into stage two. And this wisdom thing, this iron sharpening iron thing, this being intentional with each other thing, it takes words. This isn't something people are just going to catch. And oftentimes I have noticed that we often think that people will just catch it. Well, I was just hanging out with him, and I kind of snarled my nose once when he said that, and I think he got the message. No, he didn't. We got to be clear with each other. We got to be very intentional about the things that we know need to be challenged because, as Andrew said earlier, it was Greg calling him out saying, hey, how did that benefit the kingdom? Ooh. And it was Phil asking a direct question. It was Liz saying, hey, I notice you pray about yourself a lot. You think those are easy things to say? They're not, but you ask Andrew, he's going to say, I loved it. Not at the time, but he loves it now. And he understands that truth needs to happen. Sometimes you're going to just find that truth isn't really well received, but that's not your job, is it? Your job isn't to change them. Your job is to speak the truth. Tonight, I want to get into, those are backdrop scriptures. Let's take a look into Philippians. I really love where we're going here tonight. This is this. Paul says, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That sounds like a lot of words. It is a lot of words, Paul. When I first read this, and how I've always read this, is it's like, yeah, we got heaven as our goal, right? And I'm not going to dispute that. I think that's part of it. But I think it's also saying here, press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. I looked into that word, heavenward. It's like upward. God's called me upward, and there are prizes and there are goals along the way. He's calling us to something greater. He's calling us to something that we're experiencing here tonight, but what does this look like for tomorrow? We're experiencing, I think, the Lord's presence here tonight, and it's like all things are right, and it's beautiful, and I love it, but we can't just live here. He's calling us to do something, which I think falls in line a little bit with our fun run. He's calling us, hey, if we're going to really be serious about the Philippine ministries, then we need to get some money for the roof here. How are we going to do that? I need to make some phone calls. I need to raise some money. Boom. There's something there. But what else? What other things for tomorrow are there? Because there is something definitely in this that talks about a path. Can you see that? Pressing on, forgetting what's behind, I'm going to press on towards this goal to win the prize for God. He's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want us to think about two paths. And the one path is just simply living for you, what God's going to do for you. And the other is simply living for God and what he wants. And let's listen to that last little part. This is our last scripture. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. I don't want you to think of heaven as being a place that we're getting to. Heaven is a citizenship that you are in right now if you're surrendered to Jesus. And you can live in that citizenship in this place. And based on that citizenship, you have a certain path that you're taking in your life, a certain direction in which you want to honor God. You want to bring glory to him. You want to make him God, not you. And your destiny would be heaven. And he's saying this very, I think, very eloquently, but very directly. Man, people without encouragement are going to naturally tend to go towards what's easiest. The easiest path is to do exactly what feeds you, fills your stomach, fills your cravings. That can be in the category of sex and lust and that stuff too, where that becomes our God. And even though you know it in your mind that God is God and I should go down this path, in your heart, we are surrendered to what is right here. It's what's today. We're living for set our minds on earthly things. It is a simple, simple thing. But the destiny that you are going to, it's destruction. Any of you guys ever watch Behind the Scenes? It's an old show. MTV's Behind the Music, I think. Is that, you guys ever see that show? Okay, I'm 43. They would just give these documentaries on just different bands, different groups. And you know, you DVR them and you fast forward. It's like, when are they gonna die? Who's gonna OD? Who's gonna kill somebody? It just is inevitable that these people living for themselves, where their God is their stomach, their drug, destruction is how it always ended. And I think that we are all smart enough people, just like Andrew. I think this is just a perfect lead in tonight. That Andrew, he's like, dude, I got this. I understand. I know you all understand what I just said. And I also know that almost all of us understand how we are prone to go down the wrong path. We need somebody to talk into our life. We need somebody that's got the guts to speak truth to us. And tonight, I just feel, I feel like I want this to be an encouraging / challenging night. And next week, it's going to be, how do I have the big, hard conversation with somebody that's truly got, he doesn't need the shotgun approach, he kind of needs the bazooka, boom, right? And so let's understand that your words are powerful and that your words don't just need to be in a challenging format, but they can be in a reminding format. Like the guys that were in the water and they had a captain who just kept reminding them of their wives and their kids and the things that they're looking forward to getting to. We need that. I need that. I need somebody to say, hey, Pete, it's a new day. What path are we on? Who's on the throne? Who's getting glory today? I have the privilege of being a little bit older and having seen all my kids go through elementary school. And I went through elementary school. I graduated. It was good. And as I was moving through, I can remember all my friends from elementary school. Like, I had a great childhood. I really did. I can remember Dan Hartsuff and Jerry Nichols, and I can remember these guys. And not one of them were bad dudes. Oh, you know, you'd get in little fights once in a while with them, you know, because they said booger to your girlfriend or something. I mean, it was nothing big. But all of them, you kind of had you had expectations that they're all going to do great things, they're all going to be fine people. And I never really had the foresight as I went through elementary school with those kids. I never had the foresight to think what their life was going to turn out like based upon decisions they were making then. Because if you ask any of us, hey, are drugs good or drugs bad? Bad. We don't like drugs. And all the teachers are like, yeah, these are great kids. They're going to turn out wonderful because they know, don't they? They know that drugs are bad. And nobody wants to. I loved, there was one of these drug campaign commercials that came out a few years back where it said, no kid ever says, I want to grow up to be a junkie. It's true. These things happen to us. These problems find us. And discipleship is the way in which we keep people on the path that they need to be on. Like I said before, I don't think there's any new information I've got here tonight. Hey guys, did you know that if you actually live for God, that there's going to be benefits from that, but if you don't live for God, I kind of hate those sermons. It's like, don't talk to me like I'm an idiot, right? And so my talk isn't so much about just telling you a simple truth as much as it's this. Don't get tired of saying it. Don't get tired of being the person that looks for ways to encourage. It is a gift that you need to work on. It's a skill that we should all be practicing, because every single one of you has a voice, and every single one of you has a conscience. Every single one of you has an ability to see what's in other people's lives that they don't see, usually in relationships. Relationship people are like this. Oh, I love you. And everyone else is like, are you serious? And you've got to be the person. You've got to be the person to show them with that, hey, move. Oh my, there's this. You've got to help people. You got to speak truth to these people. So there's not a person here that doesn't have those gifts and those skills, but we've got to get good at sharing it. Because here's the thing. How you share it is just about as important as what you share. because you want people to hear you. And I talk often about this topic in my office and with my staff, that I think there's two things that really need to happen for you. One is you need to have a voice in someone's life, and the second is that you've got to know how to share that voice. So who's in your life? I've got two sisters. You think, oh, they're definitely people that you've got a voice in, Pete. No, I don't. Don't talk to my sisters, but only at Thanksgiving. Maybe once a year, maybe in the summer we might see each other. They've gone through some pretty rough stuff in a recent past, and I desperately want to help them, but I know I am so far removed, I am two states away, and I am in a different category, and if I go back and I start trying to help them out, I am Preacher Pete coming out of town, out of the state, to come in and try to rescue them, and I'm going to push them further away from where they need to be. I know that. I do not have a voice in my sisters' lives. But I've got a voice in a lot of other people's lives. And I need to use that voice. And when I see something, it is up to me to be able to talk to that person and to call that person and to share with that person and to prod that person, to encourage that person, to take that person, to show that person that there is something tomorrow to look for. Hey, there is something we're looking forward to. You want a good marriage, don't you? You're making some decisions today that are really jeopardizing that good marriage. I'm going to tell you right flat. This is the problem I see. It pains me to say it. It would be a lot easier for me to just ignore it and say, yeah, Jesus loves you, bye-bye. I'm not going to do that. I care too much about your future that I'm going to have to tell you the truth. And you guys see that in other people, and you need to do the same thing. Who is it in your life that you have a voice? The second thing is, how do you share that? How do you share that in a way that is actually going to be heard? And I'll tell you just one of the best ways to do it is, I think you need to always be looking for the positive in this person. Paul does it all the time. He writes these letters. He's like, oh, I thank God for this, this, and this, and you're awesome at this, this, and this, but wow, turn the page. Boom. Got some problems. We're calling them out. And this is how life is, because people are messy. And it's really easy, as I've done counseling over the years, it's really easy as I'm sitting and talking to you about your roommate, all we're talking about is how they don't do the dishes and we got to call them out. But there's a lot of other good qualities in that person. Use those things, point those things out to let them know they're a human being and that you see that. But to always be thinking, as a wise person would, about the ramifications of tomorrow. I'm not so worried about dishes. I am worried about marriages. I am worried about futures. I am worried about paths. I'm worried about debt. I'm worried about those big things, about the people that you're surrounding yourself with, because I just know, I understand, Lisa. We don't have any Lisas here, do we? That the companion of fools will eventually suffer harm. See, I can just see where you're headed. And I know that you're probably not going to like what I have to say, but I care about this, and I care that you're on the wrong path here. Just speak the truth. This is what we need to do. Will you do me a favor this week? This is all I've got, and we're gonna close. Will you pray? Will you pray about the person in your life? Maybe it's a name you've written down. Maybe it's a person that has just come to your mind recently. Will you pray to have eyes that are open to see for them that they can't see right now? And to have the courage to be able to share with them what they need to be shared, what needs to be shared to them. We need to get good at talking about the right things and not just the fluffy stuff. And next week, it's going to be super exciting to conclude this intentional series, because, man, there are too many people outside of these walls that are depending upon their future is dependent upon God's work through you. And I want us to be ready. All right? All right. Let's all stand and I'm going to pray. Jesus, I just thank you so much for helping us be a people that know the truth, but we also need to be people that share the truth. And we need to be people that walk in the truth. And I'm asking, God, that you would be ever present in us here tonight and allow us to have eyes to see those people, to know what to say, to know who we have a voice in their life with, and to know how to share that. Thank you for just this presence here tonight. I am overwhelmed with you and how we are under you and under this canopy of love right here. It's a good place to be. It's a good reminder of where we want to end up. And just move and have your spirit do what it needs to do in this place here as we sing our next couple songs. In Jesus' name we pray.